It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. Broadcasting on 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska. -49 degrees in Kodiak under a light rain fog slash mist. Wind speeds from the northeast at 10 miles per hour at the airport, where they have 93% humidity and they are down to 1 1/4 mile of visibility. Coming up on the Midday Report, more than $2.5 billion in federal funding is headed to coastal communities like Kodiak to prepare for environmental and economic disruptions caused by climate change. A clean out of campers in Anchorage has sparked controversy, and a historic canoe has launched from Ketchikan.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of minority voters in Alabama. The landmark decision upholds key provisions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, as Troy Public Radio's Kyle Gassett reports.
At issue was a congressional redistricting plan drawn by Alabama's Republican-dominated legislature that created 6 out of 7 majority white districts. In its ruling, SCOTUS said under federal civil rights law, the state was required to create another district with a majority of black voters.
Kyle Gassett reporting. The smoky haze generated by hundreds of wildfires in Canada is causing delays again today at U.S. airports. NPR's Joel Rose reports flight delays are mounting at airports in the Northeast and beyond.
Hazy conditions and low visibility led to another day of headaches for many travelers heading in and out of airports from New York to Washington, D.C. While the Federal Aviation Administration warned that smoky conditions could extend further south to Charlotte, North Carolina. In a video posted on Twitter, the FAA's Sam Osby says the smoky haze makes it harder for pilots to see runways and taxiways.
We slow things down and we allow aircraft to have more space to maneuver until they are able to safely see the airports.
While smoky conditions from wildfires are unusual in the Northeast, Osby says many pilots have seen this before when flying into airports in the West. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Meanwhile, the smoke has forced the cancellation of events today, including live horse racing at Belmont Park in New York. A group of seismologists in Europe say they detected an explosion around the time that a critical dam collapsed in Ukraine. NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports the signal is the first piece of independent evidence to suggest the dam was destroyed in a blast.
The signal was detected by seismic stations in Ukraine and Romania, according to NORSAR, a Norwegian group that monitors them. It occurred around 2:54 a.m. local time, consistent with when the dam is believed to have collapsed. Volker Oya is a seismologist with NORSAR.
We see a pulse of energy which is focused, which is typical from an explosion.
The signal was located to within just a few miles of the dam, and explosions are unusual in this part of the country, Oya says. Still, the seismic signal can't say what caused the blast. Both Russia and Ukraine accuse each other of blowing up the dam. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is calling for an international investigation into the incident. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
The number of people applying for first-time jobless claims rose last week to its highest level since October of 2021, though the labor market remains one of the strongest parts of the U.S. economy. The Labor Department says unemployment claims rose 28,000 to a seasonally adjusted 261,000. Wall Street higher just ahead of the close, the Dow up 168. This is NPR.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. More than $2.5 billion in federal funding is headed to coastal communities across the country to prepare for environmental and economic disruptions caused by climate change. U.S. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo called the funding, quote, the most significant direct investment in climate resilience in the nation's history, close quote, in a department announcement on Tuesday. The money was included in the Federal Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed by Congress last year. It will be distributed by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The bulk of the money, nearly $600 million, will go towards a new grant program for projects aimed at climate resiliency in coastal communities. NOAA says it will announce more details on how that program will work this summer. Almost $400 million will be earmarked specifically for tribes. NOAA consulted with nearly four dozen tribes and native corporations to outline priorities needing a funding boost, like habitat restoration, protecting salmon populations, and better research and monitoring programs. About $350 million are aimed at what NOAA calls supporting climate-ready fisheries. The money will be distributed nationally. Tuesday's announcement did not indicate how those funds might shake out regionally or for Alaska, which has more coastline than the entire lower 48. Both of Alaska's senators voted against the Inflation Reduction Act back in 2022, saying at the time it would add to billions of dollars of spending and new taxes. Alaska's lone U.S. House seat was empty at the time of that vote. A park in Midtown Anchorage has become a focal point in the city's response to homelessness this summer. Mayor Dave Bronson's administration is in the process of clearing campers out of the park in the name of public safety ahead of a multi-day music festival. The Anchorage Assembly just pushed to allow camping next to the park, but after the festival. And at the same time, civil rights lawyers are fighting to let the campers stay put. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea has this report.
Anchorage City workers are loading debris and bag after bag of garbage onto flatbed trucks at a shrinking homeless encampment. After the city closed its winter shelters last month, dozens of tents popped up in this vacant city-owned lot next to Cuddy Family Midtown Park. The city posted notices a couple of weeks ago saying it planned to clear campsites out of the area. Many campers have already left, but Kyla Friedenblum will be among the last to go. She and her companions have a wheelbarrow and shopping carts loaded up with stuff near their campsite. There are waist-high stacks of plastic bins, piles of tote bags and backpacks, and rolled canvases. A little dog named Thor hops on top of one pile to keep watch.
This is our house,
Friedenblum has been camping in this spot for months, well before the number of campers swelled.
And you want us out for a concert, and then we can come back. It's supposed to turn into a sanctioned area, so don't get it. But it's politics, and, you know, that's just the way it goes. But I'm hanging in there. I'm in better spirits than I thought I would be.
She had a medical scare recently and was in the hospital over the long Memorial Day weekend.
We're the lepers, you know.
That's Marcus Salazar, an easygoing, curly-haired 20-something.
They don't want the rich people seeing all the homeless people, so, I mean, it is what it is, you know. I understand that you're coming to spend money, but it's not like, you know, we all have disease, or, you know. So it's a little messed up.
Last fall, a local concert production business decided to host a multi-day outdoor music festival in the park. It paid for permits, lined up nearly 100 artists, invested about $1 million into the event, and sold thousands of tickets. Then this spring, the city shut down its winter homeless shelters, leaving hundreds of people without a reliable roof over their heads. That sent them into the streets, green spaces, and vacant lots, including the concert venue. Helen Fleming is part owner of the concert production business Showdown Alaska. It's putting on the Sundown Solstice Festival in the park June 16th to 18th. In 10 years of business, she says this is the first time an issue like this has come up.
I felt that blame got dumped on us.
Fleming is sympathetic to the campers, but said she trusted city officials to make the best decision for everyone. Mayor Bronson's lead on homelessness issues and the head of the Parks and Recreation Department have said they decided to clear the camps in and around Cuddy Park because the combination of campers, thousands of concertgoers, alcohol, and vehicle traffic created a unique public safety situation.
It's tough because we're, you know, being painted a little bit into a corner when our only intent was to just do something really nice for the city to help, you know, economic growth and bring something special.
Fleming wonders why the city closed its winter shelters without a plan and why there wasn't better communication about the concert conflict before campers settled in. That conflict may not actually be resolved. The American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska is stepping in to provide campers with legal help. Ruth Botstein is the nonprofit's legal director.
These are people who literally have nowhere to go, and the courts have said you can't punish them for sleeping in a park when there are no other options that you have for them.
She says the organization filed notices with the city on Monday that it will appeal the forced relocation of 13 people who are or were living in and around Cuddy Park.
You know, the city has made a conscious values and policy choice not to provide shelter for people. And, you know, that might mean that it is harder to maximize revenue for renting out the parks for other purposes. That is a consequence of the choices the city has made.
She says those appeals will be filed in Anchorage Superior Court in the coming days. A spokesman for the mayor's office says that the city recognizes everyone's right to appeal, but that as of Wednesday afternoon, it was not aware of any that had been filed. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Pouring rain didn't stop a special ceremony honoring a one-of-a-kind canoe last week. Tribal members and Ketchikan residents gathered to awaken and launch a canoe designed by a late master carver and artist who called Ketchikan one of his homes. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, it was a joyous occasion full of tradition.
Dozens of people shout in the Haida language as they heave together, carrying the canoe to the water. The canoe has a fiberglass hull with wood underneath and is painted red, white, and black. A design of running salmon swirls around the canoe. When someone gets tired, another steps in. It's a show of teamwork and of strength.
So of all the people that are going to be holding the canoe, if anything feels unsafe or unsturdy, make sure you yell it out so everybody knows so we can fix it.
Earlier in the afternoon, a big crowd of tribal members and Ketchikan residents had gathered for an awakening ceremony. The canoe was designed by the late Marvin Oliver. Oliver owned Alaska Eagle Arts in downtown Ketchikan, but also had art installations around the world. He was a professor and a curator and had won an award for his work in diversity. Canoes run in the family. Oliver's father created the paddle to Seattle. Several speakers share their thoughts during the awakening part of the ceremony before the launching. They include Ketchikan Indian community staff and tribal members, and Oliver's family. His wife, Bridget Ellis, stands in front of her husband's creation alongside her family. She talks about respecting the canoe's place in Indigenous culture.
First thing I want to share with you is you never say the B word, okay? It's spelled B-O-A-T, but we don't say the B word. In traditional canoe culture, the canoe is always a canoe and never the B word. It is said if a paddler speaks of the vessel as a B word, that paddler will be thrown into the water. You learn really fast to call it a canoe at all times.
She says that Oliver felt connected to canoes because of his father's role in the paddle to Seattle and his Salish heritage.
The canoe revitalization will empower the youth. That's what he and I had in mind, to carry these important traditions forward. It's the canoe that fosters a healthy sense of identity among young Indigenous people. Those youth that struggle emotionally come together and say canoe culture is a life-changing event.
Oliver died in 2019, but the year before, the tribe's council bought the canoe. Tribe leaders say that the canoe and canoe journeys will advance the tribe's strategic plan, which focuses on uniting the community and spreading culture. Norman Scan is the Ketchikan Indian Community President.
We already have our dance, we have our arts, we have our subsistence food, and this is just another component of the wholeness that we are slowly becoming.
The canoe also receives its name. Brothers Richard and Willie Jackson named the canoe Hootskayak, or Brown Bear Spirit. Willie Jackson explains their choice.
He is your protector on this canoe. You guys ready? Hootskayak! Little louder. Hootskayak! Little louder. Hootskayak!
Before the canoe is carried into the water, there is drumming, singing, and an acknowledgement of the indigenous people who have lived on the land since time immemorial. Adults lift up children and help them drape cedar boughs on the canoe. After the canoe is floating, the mood is joyous. There is dancing and singing. Some wear cedar hats and drum, and others dance in their soggy jeans and sneakers. In Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
Starting last week, the Fairbanks area has a mobile team of mental health professionals focused on children and families. The mobile unit will respond to kids in mental health crises with immediate counseling and options for further steps. KUAC's Robin has this report.
For nearly 2 years now, Fairbanks has had a mobile response team for adults in mental health crises, but it's not necessarily a good fit for children and teens. So Timothy Ledna of Alaska Behavioral Health worked on launching a more intimate service for families.
So anytime we can divert kids away from hospital, law enforcement, or out-of-home placements.
Ledna is the team leader and mental health clinician. He's working with peer support specialist Jay Palmer.
There's the two of us on this team.
Ledna says Alaska has some high risk factors for teenagers.
There was a 2020 report that said that the number one cause of death for adolescents 15 and over was suicide. Alaska ranks at the top of out-of-home placements for children in terms of population density. We have a rising number of foster children with a decreasing number of foster homes. And so this program, its goal is to minimize the need for out-of-home placements, to minimize the need for hospitalizations and unnecessary law enforcement.
Ledna says he's using the adult mobile crisis team as an example. In fact, Ledna's also a team member on the mobile crisis team, which is staffed by professionals from Alaska Behavioral Health. But this mobile outreach for children and families is on a smaller scale. Instead of being dispatched through the 911 emergency center, it will be Ledna or Palmer picking up the phone.
We do stabilize and offer brief interventions in the home, in the community, in the school, wherever. But then we also do follow-up. So it is not just one and done and we don't ever talk to you again.
When I got my associates in human services, I did my practicum with at-risk youth. And I've got a soft spot for at-risk youth and wanting to make a difference in their lives and giving them some place to come and get services, get support, help the families in parenting and connecting them with resources in the community. Wraparound services. Really.
They will respond to calls coming in at 907-371-1359. And that phone number is on the Alaska Behavioral Health website and will be on our website, fm.kuac.org. The service is available in the Fairbanks North Star Borough 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Alaska Behavioral Health, AKBH, is a nonprofit clinical treatment agency in Fairbanks and Anchorage, and they have a range of outpatient treatment options and wraparound agreements with other social services in the borough.
Both Jay and I worked at other agencies. Yes. Both her and I actually worked at Fairbanks Native Association. I've worked with IAC, the city, you know, so we're friends with lots of partnering organizations, and we're happy to make referrals out if AKBH is not the right place for someone.
Ledna and Palmer say the program could enhance family coping skills, build resiliency, and increase overall safety. With this new intervention option, they hope to limit the need of higher levels of care and keep kids with their families as much as possible. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Jobless claims see a significant bump. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute. The number of Americans filing initial claims for unemployment benefits rose by more than 10% last week, according to the Labor Department. Claims totaled 261,000. While that's still considered low, it is the highest weekly claims total in more than 2 years. The FAA delayed flights today into airports in Philadelphia and New York because of the thick cloud of wildfire smoke blanketing the region and reducing visibility. The agency said flights could also be delayed at other airports in the Northeast. Struggling used car retailer Carvana says it will turn a profit in the current quarter. It forecast earnings above $50 million thanks to cost cutting, such as reducing advertising. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by Raymond James, Wealth Management Banking and Capital Markets. Disclosures at RaymondJames.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 8th day of June, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 5:11. It won't set again until 11:06. That will give us 17 hours and 55 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 1 minute and 53 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low temperature for this date was 33 degrees set in 1985. Our record high was 71 set in 1928. 85 was a cool year. 49 degrees in Kodiak right now under light rain, foggy mist that's been sort of hanging around town like an unwanted house guest. The wind speeds are at 10 miles per hour from the northeast out at the airport right now, where they also have 93% humidity and 1 1/4 mile of visibility. Look for rain until about 2 this afternoon, followed by showers until about 5. Cloudy skies after that with a high near 51. Calm winds today. Scattered showers tonight before 11, and then a chance of rain after that. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 44, southeast winds to 10. And rain is likely for Friday with cloudy skies and a high near 52 with southeast winds to 15. Looking at our Kodiak District tides, we just had a really low tide. The tide is really out right now here on the east side. That was a minus 1.4-foot tide that happened at 12:13, just about 10 minutes ago. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 12:38, just a few minutes from now, and be minus 1.8 feet in Larson Bay. Our next high tide here on the east side will happen at 6:58 and be 6.8 feet. And your high tide on the west side will be at 7:14 this evening and be 12 feet in height. Well, let's listen to the new and first Alaska Department of Fish and Game salmon announcement.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 1, date issued June 6th at 10 a.m. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Friday, June 9th, till 9 p.m. Sunday, June 11th, in the following areas, in the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District. There will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Friday, June 9th, until 9 p.m. Saturday, June 10th, in the following areas. In the Anton Larson Bay, Sheratine Bay, Kujuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, Spearden Bay, Zacher Bay, and Uyak Bay sections of the Northwest Kodiak District. The following areas will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Friday, June 9th, and remain open until further notice. The Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, Duck Bay, and Iyuit Bay sections of the Afognak District, and the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, beginning at noon Friday, June 9th, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters will be reduced in the following locations: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406, in Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822, and to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821, and in Katoy Bay to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252323 and 252324. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. trends and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And fishermen and other mariners, here's your weather for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. In synopsis, nice weather for today and tomorrow, and it's going to blow for Saturday and Sunday. For today, variable 10 becoming south 15 this afternoon and 6-foot seas. For tonight, southeast 15 and 5-foot seas. Friday, southeast 15 and 6-foot seas. And for Saturday, east winds to 45 knots and 14-foot seas. Sunday, south 40, seas to 16 feet. A similar scene in the Shelikof, northeast 20 today, seas to 5 feet, east 15 tonight, and seas to 4 feet. For Friday, east 15, seas to 4 feet. But then on Saturday in the Shelikof, east winds to 45 knots, seas to 11 feet. And for Sunday, southeast 45, seas to 11 feet on Sunday as well in the Shelikof. The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a special meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. That's happening in the Assembly Chambers and will be followed directly by an Assembly work session also in the Assembly Chambers. But both those meetings begin at 6:30 p.m. There'll be one after the other in the Assembly Chambers. Also tonight, the City Council will be having a regular meeting. That happens at 7:30 p.m. in the Library's Multipurpose Room. It will also be broadcast right here on KMXT on 100.1 FM and web-streamed from the City of Kodiak's website, where you can also find meeting packets. This summer, find your voice. Our voices have power. Sign up now for the Kodiak Public Library Summer Reading Challenge that runs through August 30th. Log the minutes you read, write book reviews, and participate in activities to complete the challenge. Sign up is at kodiak.beanstack.org, or just stop by the library in person to sign up. Also at the library, their escape room has returned for the summer. Daily time slots are available except for Mondays. Call now to check availability and reserve your spot. It's open to all ages, but kids under 14 must be accompanied by an adult. Groups of four are considered ideal. Call the library at 907-486-8686 to sign up for the escape room. Also, this Saturday, a special event, 1 p.m., join local musician Ellamy Tiller for some songwriting at the library. This program offers a creative and inspiring platform to learn the craft of telling your story through music. It's for ages 14 and above. Again, call the library at 907-486-8686 to start up. And, of course, at 3:30 p.m. on Wednesdays, the library has their famous Lego Club. Kids under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. And every Saturday, the library has their library hive checks. Children under 5 must watch from inside, and kids under 13 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. If you have already attended a hive check, please wait until tomorrow to sign up. Otherwise, call the library at 907-486-8686 to sign up for your spot. And remember, library hours are Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. There's going to be an LGBTQ plus friendly strobe cycle class. That's happening at a balanced approach this Saturday at 6:30 p.m. It's for anyone 14 years and old and up. You can sign up at their website, which is www.abakodiak.com. Scroll down and look on the black calendar and sign up button. It's $5 to attend as many ABA Pride events as you would like. Find out more about them at the Kodiak Pride Facebook page. Also, upcoming Kodiak Pride events include the LGBTQ plus friendly restorative yoga class. That's also at a balanced approach. That's happening Wednesday, June 21st at 6:30 p.m. It's a fun LGBTQ plus friendly exercise class with donations for Kodiak Pride taken at the door. Again, that's Wednesday, June 21st at 6:30 p.m. Also, the Pride Performance and Confidence Building class at A Balanced Approach is Thursday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. If you're interested in performing or just want to build your confidence, join Hazel as she teaches you the basic of all things performance related and how to build your confidence while freely being your best self. Again, that's Thursday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. at A Balanced Approach.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.